afternoon. Today is Monday, April the 7th, the 98th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills.
Good afternoon.
What is that stuff?
It is Kirkland.
It's the funny
mineral water, dragon fruit. And I know you can have about 1,000 jokes on that.
It does. Is that like the fuzzy water, or is that
just
flavored water?
Straight water.
Oh. Is it like healthy or something?
Evidently. It's cheap.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So's the tap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cheaper.
don't want to break your bubble or anything. Yeah. This afternoon, we'll kind of answer that age-old question, who wants to work for Andy? Or why should you maybe want to have your kids work for him?
Exactly.
Yeah. Grain of salt when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see if we can find something that's somewhat humorous, huh?
Be a good day for levity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, particularly in light of some of the things that have happened, huh? Ah, here we go. It's not too funny, but it is Mark Twain, so he did have some humor in his career. A habit can't be tossed out the window. It must be coaxed down the stairs one step at a time. Is that a good analogy?
Yeah.
So you lost a former guy over the weekend.
Lance.
Yeah.
What a great man.
Yeah. For folks that are unaware and not really knowledgeable. Now, he had been a cop.
Yes, detective.
And went out on disability long time ago. What happens then? For you guys, do you lose somebody? Are they gone? Are they retired? Are they persona non grata? Are they still part of the department? What's that relationship after that bridge is crossed?
Well, nowadays, what happens is once somebody is retired, whether it's medical or stress or there could be a variety of reasons, they get a percentage of their salary for the rest of their lives. We go down that position until we can refill that position, and that can take some time. So if a person gets injured, let's say, and right now I have 4 people injured with a variety of injuries. One of the rotator cuff injury where he tore his shoulder all the way through.
Lance.
Yeah. One with a knee injury.
We'll get back to your whininess. Lance.
So, anyways, we replace them, but it takes time, and that was my point. So if it could take a year and a half before we're able to actually get that permanent and qualified stationary thing, and then you have to go through the hiring process, which can take more time.
So, would that count as against your salary, your budget? Because when someone retires, does that go out of the retirement fund?
It comes out of PERS.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes out of PERS, but it depends how long it takes to get there. That becomes the point. So if it takes a year and a half or 2 years sometimes or longer, we eat that salary.
So until you fill the position?
No, until they're able to retire. Once they're able to retire, then there's a little bit of salary savings until we can get the person hired.
And so that's a medical determination?
Medical determination by a qualified doctor.
Yeah, I wouldn't figure it would be Mrs. Mills.
If it were, hey, my back's starting to hurt.
Yeah, no, you'd be out on a mental, not a physical.
Kathy, did you hear that?
Yeah. I heard the applause.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. It could be purely coincidental.
But getting back to Lance real quickly, if I can. When Kathy and I first came here, We were welcomed by everybody and so forth, but Lance and Kathy stood out. We walked into our hotel room. We were up here. We had just gotten hired. We were up here looking for a home, and table in the room was a big bag. Yeah, that very articulate word. Thanks. a big bag of cookies from Los Bagels, and a note from Lance and Kathy, his wife, saying, "Welcome to Eureka," or actually, it said, "Welcome home." And just that's how neat of a thoughtful guy he was. And that's, you know, just one little anecdotal story for Lance.
Is the department going to be doing anything formally? Or it's been so long, or relatively so long, that I would imagine most of the guys weren't even on the force.
Most would not know Lance. However, there are a lot that do know Lance, and out of respect for a guy that did serve this job for a lengthy period of time, as well as the city, we will do everything we can to support the family in their time of need and crisis. And even though it was expected, it's still a painful process.
Yeah, that's always tough when it's a medical condition like that.
Yeah.
You don't know, is it relief or is it still...
Yeah.
You just kind of play it by ear. You don't have to go through too many of those as a police, as being in a small police department, but is there protocol that occurs when a former officer does die?
Yes, there is. There's actually a written policy on it because you get a lot of requests for, you know, so-and-so was on the department many years ago, and so we very frequently send out emails to all of our folks to let them know. But lowering the flag to half-staffed, wearing, you know, black ribbons over your badge, it's a very strict policy on that.
Same for the office staff?
Same for the office staff.
I could say something about where's your black bar?
My black bar?
Well, you said black bar on your badge.
Black taper, yeah, black band, yeah.
Look down.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
There isn't one.
I don't want you running into somebody until, you know, 5 minutes after the show's done and yeah. Busting you on it.
Yeah, no. Well, it's wearing a black bar is a line of duty death.
Oh.
There's a difference.
So there's a distinction there.
Right.
Okay.
And whether it's in county, out of county, you know, there's a whole variety of tiers that it goes through.
You sure you're not Catholic? This is as challenging as Lent is for me.
What did you give up, I might add?
I could say booze, but that wouldn't be truthful. And I haven't given up the weight that I thought I was going to either.
That always seems to
be. It's kind of been just a general frustration this year. Oh, my. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. When we come back, we'll get into the main topic here of the show.
Sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Andy, who wants to be a cop? I mean, bottom line, you know, unless you're a control freak. What is it that, and I'm sure you guys have got all the psych tests and all that kind of stuff. Who wants to be a cop?
Well, I think there's a variety of personality traits that would find this an amazing job. If you want a front seat at the greatest show on earth, being a cop is the best place to be. And a Eureka cop on top of it. We're a busy police department. So people who are competitive in nature, people who want to help society, people who want to wake up every day knowing that they made a difference, those are the people that we attract and that want to become cops.
Now, you could do the same thing and say politician. Competitive, helping the community, have an impact. But guns aren't normally involved. Blood and guts, my blood and guts, aren't normally involved.
Yeah.
That additional part, and granted, that's a 24-hour job.
Right.
You guys have got, the politicians have got a 24-hour, I mean, I've got a 24-hour big deal. But it's something that's different.
Yeah, you know, it's... you know, I started this in 1977, and I can remember the first piece of violence that I saw, and it bothered me for a couple days, and then you kind of get over it, and then after 34 years, it's like, okay, whatever. But you can't lose that edge.
The empathy?
The empathy, and it's hard to maintain it. And so we're looking for people who are almost schizophrenic, if you will, from the standpoint of, and they can operate in that lethal environment and immediately switch out to be a regular human being, and where they are kind and loving and empathetic and caring. So it's kind of that edged sword of both sides. And but we want our people to emphasize the right side, which is the empathy and the kind and caring, not just the gunfighter side. And you know.
Good move.
Yeah. In fact, we want to de-emphasize that as much as possible, but it's a reality that you have to live with and your family lives with every day. And that hypervigilance in the long run can also cause problems.
That's one of the things, I mean, you consider a lot of folks, you know, you and Kathy certainly are an exception to it. Merlin Blanche, were Dave and Sylvia, a bunch of the...
People you know.
People are.
Yeah.
But you look at the, not the mortality rate, but the marriage mortality rate.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty impressive. So is there any way to balance the stressors? Or I guess conversely to say, teach people how to deal with the stressors so it doesn't come home. Or if it comes home, it's modified so that it's not an overwhelming thing, and yeah, you know, sit around the table. Oh, geez, how was business today, dear?
Yeah,
and then you share.
You know, we've been married 32 years, and the reason we stayed married 32 years is because of Kathy. I just got done reading a book. It's called "Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement" by Gil Martin, and I'm going to actually just ordered 20 more books. I'm going to make it available to guys.
Pass it around
in
staff
the department.
Ladies.
Yeah, and stay. I wish I had read it 34 years ago. Now, just out of coincidence, I think that I'd live by some of the principles that helped me survive this long emotionally. But we take on a lot of baggage. And I just had determined real early in my career that I wouldn't share anything at the house unless it was funny. The funny stuff, like a kid peeing on my boot and me not knowing it, that I share.
Not dark humor.
Yeah, not dark humor.
Okay.
But the other things, I just, you know, I've chosen not to share it and so forth.
So when you're talking to a new guy or gal, do you counsel that way? As being the old guard, mentor, you know, bring him under your wing, or find some coping mechanisms, do something to help to alleviate those stressors?
Well, you know, Gil Martin says three things. One is that you should vigorously schedule your time. And two is to do things that you need to do rather than just come home and sit on the couch, which is a lot of cops get in that habit. They just come home, they're exhausted emotionally from the day, you plop on the couch, you get the clicker, well, that destroys your family. So schedule your time, continue to maintain friends outside of law enforcement, and then three, physical exercise is paramount because it's a stress reliever. I tell our new people to focus on four things. And same things I told my son-in-laws when they were asking for my daughter's, you know, hand in marriage. Think about four things: your emotional well-being, and take steps to protect that. Your intellectual relationship with my daughter, your wife, the physical side of working out together, I think that's really important, and then the spiritual and financial side, to make sure that you keep those things intact, and that's your responsibility. as well as hers. And so I think, same for the cops, I try to encourage them to make sure they're thinking more than just police work.
It'd be interesting for a 20-something.
Yeah.
I would even consider three of those four.
One. I'll be happy with one.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, like you said, you know, it is a different breed of cat, too.
Yeah.
That's attracted to being an officer. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
Introducing Tapas and Tinis in the Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino. Spring is here, so on your way home from the beach, come check out the sunset. Restaurant doors will be opening an hour earlier, offering a small plate, tapas, menu available at a discounted price from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Signature martinis will be reduced to $7, and happy hour also applies with dollar-off drafts and wells. Also, make sure to check out the new spring menu for an amazing dinner, available starting at 5 p.m. daily. The Sunset Restaurant at Sherry Heights Casino, just off the 101 in Trinidad.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Eureka's Police Chief, Andy Mills. So, Andy, we've talked a little bit about the regular cop, but you got abnormal cops also. You know, you call them either non-sworn.
Okay. I don't know if I call them abnormal. Well, but
you know, I take pride in being a mutant. Yeah. So, you know, abnormal is not quite being a mutant. It's getting there. But
Yeah.
Office staff,
right?
Dispatchers, meter maids, things like that. That a lot of folks don't say, "Oh, there goes a cop,"
right?
Evidence techs, you know, things like that. Are there positions? Are there opportunities? Is that something you're looking for also, or is some of the? I hate the term to support staff,
right?
Because that implies that they can't. They're not doing it themselves. They're supporting somebody. It's like junior assistant,
right?
No, get away! Yuck. Are those positions also that you're looking at to either backfill, change, reposition, shuffle things around a little bit? Are there spots for those folks also?
Well, there are several spots that are open in our civilian staff is how I'd like to.
Civilian staff.
How I like to phrase
as
it.
As contrasted to the uncivilized staff.
Yeah. Yes, the cops are uncivilized.
Yeah, I go both ways on you, man. Yeah.
We're actually in the process of looking for two records personnel. To help us do the records side of the house, which is a very important job to get that data into the systems.
Is that like data entry? And
yeah, data
like
entry.
That?
It's answering phones, answering questions from the public, providing customer service to people who come to the front counter. There's a variety of really very important functions. And then we're also desperately looking for dispatchers. Dispatching is a tough job. I tell you what, I could not do it.
Is it the pace or is it the information?
It's the pace. It's the information. It's the stress. Cops have a way to alleviate some of that stress by actually dealing with it in the field, where dispatchers are dealing with it on the phone. And people are rude oftentimes. They're frustrated. They're stressed out. And the dispatcher's job is to calm them down while it's building stress internally for them. They're working ridiculous hours.
They work the long hours because
we're short.
That's the job, or you're just stretching them because we need to have people answering the phones and you're the qualified folks?
Yeah, they're the qualified folks, and we're short bodies. We're down almost 50% in dispatch. And
I would think if somebody wanted to be in a dynamic position, know what's going on in the community, career, mm-hmm. I don't imagine, you know, as long as you pay attention, you know, you're not going to be downsized out on dispatch.
No.
That would be something that people would be developing career paths
for, and that
there would be demand for. But I've talked to guys who know in other communities too, and it's like dispatch is just, it's one of those toughies.
It's a tough job, and you have to be able to multitask, communicate with people. I was up in dispatch the other day and watching them operate and talking with Michelle Arena Sanchez, who runs our dispatch center, and watching the ladies, and all ladies at this point, on the phone, talking in one ear to a citizen, dispatching an officer, running a license plate at the same time, I can only do one of those at a time, let alone three of those.
And that'd be the sitting down part?
The sitting down part, thanks. Boy, you're a real fan today.
Well, you know, it's your dragon fruit, man. I mean, you just got me thinking a little bit here.
Yeah. And so that's a tough job. But I'll tell you what, it's a rewarding job. One of our dispatchers saved a man's life not too long ago by giving instructions over the phone on how to give CPR to his mate. And then that they kept that person kept him alive long enough for the paramedics to get there and transport him. So what a huge impact this position can have. And they get paid well and a retirement and, you know, wonderful hours.
Ultimately, or optimally, I guess, 40-hour answering phones, or would it be like 25 and then doing some of the other stuff also?
No, it's 40-plus hours answering phones and dispatching. We're not large enough to have separate call takers from the dispatcher, so they do both at the same time. So frequently when the person's talking to the dispatcher's already talking to the officers in the field, sending them messages on
relaying
the MDT,
that information.
Relaying the information. And then and frequently people will say, well, ma'am, hold on a second. You know, and then she'll tell the officer, you know, critical information orally as opposed to just on the MDT.
So that kind of scenario, how do you train? How do you avoid burnout there?
Well, that's the problem. We're burning them out. And we're trying very hard to get people in there to help them. We train them. It takes 4 or 5 months of solid training where they're sitting with another dispatcher. They have a huge book they go through and check off list of learning different types of things. And not only do they do police, but they also do fire and paramedic. So they really have to be very well-rounded in their ability to handle crisis situations.
On the job training?
OJT. That's the definition of it right there.
KINS, News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 morning mass and 12:30 Spanish mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Andy Mills. Andy, if somebody is interested, if somebody's lukewarm interested, do you want to talk to them, or do these folks have to be hot and bothered, over the top, great guns, going to go through the cinder block, doesn't matter how thick that wall is, passionate about being a cop?
You know, I'd actually rather have the people who are lukewarm because if we can talk them into it, I think they'll get hooked. I'm not looking for the guy who's ready to run through a brick wall if we ask him to because I want people to think and to be reasonable. And, you know, and it's interesting because some of the best cops I have ever known were the ones who got into this job by accident. You know, Merle was an example. He was a reporter for the Times Standard, and then
reformed journalist.
Reformed journalist, yeah. Touche. And he got into it. And 57 years later, he retired. So I think there's a good balance of the two that we need: the aggressiveness, but at the same time, people who are willing to ask questions and even question authority.
What about former military? You know, a lot of these kids coming home from overseas, or National Guard, are those folks, do they profile well, or do they tend to not be the type of individual that you're looking for?
No, it really depends on the individual. Some do very, very well, and we have several guys that who are former military guys that have fit in well and are just fantastic cops. John Omi is one. And so I think that that's a very good recruiting profile for us. However, we also want others as well. I just don't want all military guys.
Do you, if you're a storekeeper, you've got a product mix. Do you, as a chief, have a product mix of the types of cops that you want? A couple of locals, a couple out of the areas, a couple of these, a couple of those. Now, some may say that those are quotas, but it is a little bit looser than that as a concept. But your team, as you're assembling it, do you have various roles or personalities that you're looking for, if it's ideal?
Yeah, I don't think we do, in policing in general, I don't think we do a good enough job trying to balance the workforce in terms of types of personalities. We kind of look for people with high integrity, high problem-solving skills, high communication interpersonal skills. There's actually post criteria on this, police officer standards and training criteria on this. But I think it is important that we have a very diverse group of personality and profiles, as well as race, gender, and everything else you can throw in there.
When I think of a cop, I don't think of somebody who reaches out to help out or asking for help from another cop. Not under gunfire, but I mean just, hey, I'm having troubles.
Well, I think the prototypical person in their mind is the real structured, beefy, guy. You know, the Norman Rockwell poster of the guy on the bar stool with a kid next to him.
In the soda shop?
In the soda shop.
Oh,
yeah.
That's where you find him.
Yeah, exactly. But we're looking for a little bit broader than that. I mean, we'd really need a different perspective because in order to reach all communities, you really need representation from all those communities.
How about athletes? Do they? I mean, they have a pretty good win-loss kind of bent going.
Yeah.
Well, unless you only played t-ball, of course.
Yeah.
But they're used to a win-loss, a competitive kind of a thing. Certainly, the physicalness of it oftentimes is there. Is that a good pool to draw from?
It is a good pool to draw from. My experience has been over the 30-plus years is a lot of folks who are on the police department, men and women, are really former athletes who have had that competitive spirit and not so much the physicality portion, although that's important. That's very important, but just the thought process of I want to win, and that takes a lot of different perspectives. Not just physically trying to beat someone or win over them, but I want to win. If it's a crook, and you're committing a burglary on my beat, that really bothers me. I want to win.
That's a personal.
It is personal, and you're breaking into a neighbor's house. That's personal. It's not just business.
So, well-grounded. Having a little bit of spirituality.
Yep.
Probably don't want someone my age or your age.
Hey, right now.
Starting a new career. Okay. If somebody is inclined, you go to your guys' website. Is that a spot to go? Make a phone call? Pop in?
All of the above. Go to the city's website. You can apply right online. Right now, we're only hiring people that have already gone through the police academy, so they have to put themselves through the academy because it's so expensive to do.
Even for the office positions?
Not the office positions. They don't have to go through the academy. We just had a test for dispatchers. 33 people took the test. I think 17 passed, so we're going to start the background process on those folks.
Have fun, man.
Yeah.
Big books and you. I can see the two coming together.
Yeah.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.